Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Sewage and Water Board recently announces a new initiative that they're undertaking. And joining us on the line is Ghassan Corbin, Executive Director of the Sewage and Water Board. Ghassan, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Noor. Glad to be on your show again.
Thank you so much. You guys have announced this new initiative that you will be checking and inspecting both closed canals and open canals that account for about 275 miles of canals every 5 years. Tell us about that.
Well, I know it's important to note that this is one of many initiatives that we are taking on for 2020, whether it's billing and introducing automated meter readers, modernizing our power system, touching every bit of our water distribution system, and then we also are obviously making canals the main focus of our initiatives, and that's what we're doing here. So we're excited that people are paying attention to that initiative because we feel that they would be part of the solution in this case. And while we have 65 miles of open canals, we have 210 that are closed, that are out of sight, and that's what we're focusing on both. And we believe that our folks out there could be very instrumental in helping us with the visibility of the 65 miles of canals. So in terms of if they see something, they can report it. And then also proactively, they can avoid throwing anything in those canals that would impede flow. We're very excited as we move forward.
You and I have talked about this, that education is key. I drive by canals, open canals in the city every day coming to and from work. I have to be quite honest with you. I have noticed much less debris being thrown into canals today than I can remember for a long, long time.
That sounds like music to my ears, Noel.
But it's true. I think everybody's talking about it and thinking about it. And I think you guys, I know, have received calls with folks giving those others up that have dumped stuff in the canal, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And obviously, that's one way to improve our capacity of the canals is by avoiding throwing any trash in them of any size. But also, if you see something in it that you think would impeding flow, is to let us know by calling 52 Water, 529-2837, and let us know so we can react. Basically, help us help you.
So obviously, y'all have made this part of your strategic plan, and y'all are putting the financing in place in order to be able to deliver on these inspections at least once, every 5 years. Correct?
Yes, that is correct. We wanted to be realistic in what we can deliver. We assessed the mileage of of the open and the closed canals, and we thought initially this is what we, and it's an industry standard to visibly and touch an asset every 5 years, no more. And obviously, because of our experience last year with finding a vehicle that had been there for many years in one of the canals, that kind of opened our eyes and kind of made this even more of a priority for us to stay ahead of the game and find things, all the impediments and get them out of the canals as soon as we can. Unfortunately, just recently we got a call from one of our council, and in this case, Councilwoman Kristen Palmer, who alerted us to she thought was a vehicle in the canal, and sure enough, we just hoisted another vehicle from a canal that ran underneath the tourist drive bridge. So it's unfortunate it is happening, and we need to remain focused until our canals are clean, as they should be.
You guys had taken on another initiative, the drainage culverts, and I know that y'all had had a number of vacuum trucks that were going around. Is there an update on that initiative?
Well, that's part of the whole the canal. I mean, the open canal.
So that includes the culverts as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Anything that's larger than 36 inches that belongs under our responsibility, and then we, again, it's part of the 5-year plan.
Ghassan, obviously a lot of money has been, you know, it's being spent now on road work and things of that nature. And I know you and I talked about this before, that the level of coordination between that road work and what was actually going on underground relative to drainage considerations. What is your appreciation of that now? Has it improved? We have a way to go. Where are we on that?
I think the partnership continues to improve. I mean, we started from a good place, really a seamless collaborative relationship with the Department of Public Works. And the relevance here is that they are responsible for a significant part of the drainage system. Anything that is 36 inches or less belongs to them in terms of maintenance and upkeep. And they've certainly elevated their attention and their focus on their portion, have been doing tremendous amount of work, staying ahead of obviously the hurricane season, touching a lot of catch basins. I don't have exact numbers, but they're certainly have elevated the intensity of their proactive work on those. So we're very excited because the whole system is as good as either of the systems. So I need their basins to work, the collection system to work, so water can flow to our canals and ultimately to our pumping station. So I'm very feeling gratified with how we're working very, very closely. So there's no pointing of fingers. It's more, hey, let's work collaboratively, and then we help each other out as needed.
Let's move to water for a second. We know that there's been any number of issues. You talked about the automated meter readers. Is there some milestones that y'all have put in place as it relates to the penetration, how many of these automated readers that you want to have deployed over the next 5, 10, 15 years?
Well, we're looking at that program automating our entire system as a 5-year plan, really. I think it needs to be that aggressive or even more aggressive if funding is permitted, or if we're able to move money around to focus on that, because we think it's a crucial project for us because it's generating so much angst and bad rapport between our customers and us. You know, nobody wants to receive an untimely bill, the wrong bill, or not receive a bill. So we recognize that that issue continues to be a problem for us and for our customers. So this year will basically a year of capturing all the accounts, all the meters, putting them in a GIS system where we know exactly where they are, where the commercial ones are, where the high volume usage meters are, and then start breaking it down in categories. And then at the conclusion of this year, we will have an RFP soliciting the actual vendor who can furnish and install these automated readers. The project will entail installation of some towers to allow those meters to talk to a central location here at St. George or any other particular situation, position or location rather, that allows us to send out accurate and timely bills from that on. Again, it could be a 2-year implementation if the money is available, but more likely a 4-year after that. So it's a 5-year from now, we will have a fully implementable, executable, automated system in place.
Has there been any consideration on the commercial side of working with some of these special taxing districts to help have them help and facilitate the implementation of these. So, for example, the Downtown Development District, the Vieux Carré District, and otherwise, and maybe kind of a give and take, and have a good portion of the commercial customers go automated. It seemed to me that they would be the easiest to get that accomplished with first.
Absolutely. We've had communications with them already in terms of our plan, and the time will come when we are fully ready to start implementation, and they know that they are our first target area, because that's where, you know, the hotels and other businesses, commercial buildings with high usage, they know that they will be the first round of improvement that we will take on. And what role they play yet, it's not clear. I don't know what that looks like, but they certainly are very excited about, you know, improving that process, so that it behooves them to play a role to expedite and improve the quality of the outcome at the end of the day.
Are you still going through a process of having to remediate or mediate improper billing? I get calls coming in periodically here of you know, single family dwelling having water bills in the neighborhood of $750, $800, which just seems to be a big number. And, you know, two people living in a home.
I believe that while we improved where we were about a year or more ago, in terms of the severity, how dramatic those discrepancies were, we continue to have issues. So there's no downplaying that. And we are constantly on daily basis addressing those the best we can. We know that it's a system that has a lot of flaws, a system that requires somebody to open a manhole and read through mucky water, a meter, enter that number, and then there's so many other steps that allow errors to happen. So we know that it's a very inantiquated and very, very flawed system. So we're working through minimizing those situations, and we think we have, but they continue to happen. So the answer to your question, yes, we do. And the fact that it's going to take 4 to 5 years to move on from where we are, we're constantly improving the process the best we can for the next 4 years or so, and because we know what's happening now is not acceptable.
Yeah, and that's, as you said, in all honesty, that's an aggressive timeline, because you're talking about a major transformation of an entire system, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have 136 plus thousand accounts that have to be touched, and it's been done in other cities that have, you know, bigger numbers than that, and as long as you do it systematically, you phase it, whether it's geographic or, again, by the volume of water used, it's very manageable. It's doable. We're going to be very careful of who we bring on board to help us with that project. We're going to set high standards, so the implementation will be of high quality on behalf of our customers, and reduce, if not eliminate altogether, any issues after we launch it.
Yeah. I know at the last time we talked, you guys were having personnel challenges. Any improvement there?
Those challenges will continue. Again, you're relying on a lot of people who come in. You train them. You put them out in a somewhat of a challenging environment, whether it's heat, rain, cold, maybe some adversarial situation that takes place in some neighborhoods, and inaccessibility of meters. So it's a constant challenge, but I think we've made some significant improvement in terms of educating our meter readers and their supervisors in terms of what to anticipate. We've made the actual sequencing of how they read a certain neighborhood much, much easier to follow or execute on a daily basis, reducing the pressure of them making mistakes. So all in all, I think it's improved. But, you know, relying on on a meter reader to read a meter to enable us to send a bill is just, it's primitive, and we just have to move on.
Yeah. From it. Thing of the past. Can't wait to see it go, right? The last question, because I know you do have to go. The mystery that's gone on over in that vault or chamber in the French Quarter, that seems to be almost like a novel at this point in time. Any resolution to that?
Well, the resolution is that we've done, meaning in the Sewage and Water Board, we've done our part investigating any plausible or likely cause. We couldn't pinpoint anything that we may have contributed to the situation. The fact of the matter is you had a chamber or a vault that belongs to Entergy where something in that vault happened, a spark or an arc that took place that typically you don't. That's the last thing you want to see happen in a vault. Coupled with the presence of some other substance, it could be methane from a sewer, it could be something else that caused the explosion. And I just talked to Councilwoman Kristen Palmer yesterday because she's very interested in putting a final resolution on this that we're going to meet shortly, we meaning Sewage and Water Board, Entergy, and the city to kind of collectively come up with the most plausible root cause. And for the main reason that, okay, if we know exactly what happened or we can stipulate, what can we do to make that not happen again? How do we avoid it from happening? Because that's really the most important reason why we would want to pursue it.
Yeah.
So while we don't have a definitive answer, I think we're inching toward one, and we collectively we have to all agree that we think this is what happened. And what steps can we take to avoid it from happening again? So it's nearing conclusion, and hopefully we can share that with the public as soon as it becomes definitive.
Well, just adding a little levity to it might be one of those little voodoo mysteries in the French Quarter, right?
I'll let you say that, and I do.
I know you dare not go there, right? Ghassan Corbin, thank you so much for spending some time with us today. I know you're very busy and you agreed to come on. We truly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.